गौरात्वेषे नमः। श्रीचैतन्य मनोऽभीष्टम् स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यम् ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम्। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा। यू आर ऑल वेलकम फॉर कंटिन्यूटी अवर भक्ति शास्त्री नेक्टर ऑफ डिवोशन। इन नेक्टर ऑफ डिवोशन वी आर डिस्कसिंग द सेकंड वेव। सेकंड वेव मीन्स साधन भक्ति। साधन भक्ति मीन्स उत्तम भक्ति बाय डिवोशनल बाय रेगुलेटिव प्रिंसिपल। उत्तम भक्ति थ्रू रेगुलेटिव प्रिंसिपल। एंड फ्रॉम चैप्टर सेकंड टिल चैप्टर 14 दिस होल सेक्शन इन अवर डिवोशन इज साधन भक्ति एंड वैदी साधन भक्ति। ओनली फर्स्ट साधन भक्ति एंड देन आउट ऑफ द टू साधन भक्ति भक्ति एंड हाउ मेनी आइटम्स आर इन टोटल फॉर प्रैक्टिस ऑफ वैदी साधन उत्तम भक्ति 64. Out of the 64 items, the 5 are considered the most potent, important practices. What are these 5? Number 1, association of devotees, okay? Sankirtan. Is everybody knows these 5 by name?
Yes.
What was the first officially when we discussed? Officially first is? No. Shardhaya Shri मूर्ति विग्रह अंग्रही सेवा प्रीति विथ फेथ वर्शिपिंग द ट्रांसेंडेंटल फॉर्म ऑफ सुप्रीम लॉर्ड। हरे कृष्ण। इसको बड़ा करो और ये चल भी नहीं रहा। हरे कृष्ण। बड़ा करो आगे चलो। सो डीडी वर्शिप राइट एंड नंबर 2 इज श्रीमद् भागवत भागवतम श्रीमद् भागवत अर्थ आस्वादन। श्रीमद् भागवत अर्थ आस्वादन राइट। संकीर्तन हरिनाम थर्ड फोर्थ डिवोटी एसोसिएशन एंड द फिफ्थ इज लिविंग इन मथुरा मंडल राइट। सो we completed 64 items of devotional service. By the end of 12th chapter, we already completed 64. Is it okay? Yes. Now, Srila Rupa Goswami personally composed 5 prayers in glorification of the 5 most important items. Now, this is 5 these five potent forms are composed by Srila Rupa Goswami to glorify the five items. And these five items are so powerful, even some come in contact with these five items, immediately he will get bhav bhakti. Bhav bhakti means, you know, without going through the process, he can automatically and immediately get the result of bhav bhakti. What is the result of bhav bhakti? Result of sadhan bhakti? Yes. No rag. Sadhan bhakti results in bhav bhakti. Sadhan bhakti result in, the purpose of the sadhan bhakti is to awaken the bhav which is inbuilt in everybody's heart. And what is the example? Walking of a child. The tendency for walking is already there. We have to assess the child that he will start walking. So sadhan bhakti is a process by which bhav bhakti is awakened within the heart. Is it okay? So these five items immediately award bhav bhakti. But then in our book Srila Prabhupada writes, it's not that all will get this at a time. Some will get. And the others will not get. Why? Because they are still, they have not crossed the stage of anarth nivarti. So, then what are the examples? Those who can immediately get bhava, bhakti, by coming in contact with these. Then two examples in our book are given. One is, anybody remembers? Four Kumaras from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord immediately got bhava. And then another example, and hearing about Krishna, and then he got bhava bhakti. He has not to undergo all the other processes. It is not exaggeration. Rupa Goswami said, this is not exaggeration that these five are very powerful. It works for some, but it may not work for all. Even if, then Srila Prabhupada writes, even if it is a over glorification, but still it will help us to be directed to the Lord rather than mundane beauty of the world. Even if, that's a Srila Prabhupada's five most potent five potent forms of devotional service. In first three paras, 1, 2, 3, you know, fun paragraph. Can you see the three paragraph first? They are describing the form. Form means deity. Okay? Shri Murti. Shri Vigra Sevan. And the paragraph 4 and the next page, whole paragraph going till the next Srila Rupa Goswami, this fourth paragraph describes the glories of hearing Bhagavatam. First three are describing deity worship. And the one verse composed by Srila Rupa Goswami. And that verse, and the next verse is also composed for the Bhagavatam. When we read these two verses, in which apparently outwardly it appears that he is glorifying something else, not the deity or Bhagavatam. So, this is the... Well, again, to confirm what we have five anga, it is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtana Bhagavata Sharvana Mathuravas Shri Murtira Shardhaya Sevana Shakala Sadhana Sreshta Ei Pancha Anga Krishna Prema Janamaye Ei Panchera Alpa Sangha. So these are the two verses quoted for these five powerful, potent anga of bhakti, item of the bhakti, sadhana, vaidhi sadhana uttama bhakti. Madhya Leela, chapter 22, 128 and 29. Okay? So these are the five anga from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is the verse about the deity worship, composed by Srila Rupa Goswami, and the translation by Srila Prabhupada in our book is, this verse also appear in Adi Leela, chapter 5, 224. My dear friends, he is telling, my dear friends, if you are indeed attached to your worldly friends, do not look at smiling face of Lord Govinda. As he stands on the bank of Yamuna at Keshi Ghat, casting sidelong glances, he places his flute on his lips, which seem like newly blossomed twigs, his transcendental body bending in three places appears very bright in moonlight. So there's a beautiful photo of Krishna we should just put somewhere. It reminds us how he looks like. There's a Purnima, today Purnima, this is Ras Purnima. So there's a full moon and Krishna with a flute is standing three bhanga lalita. He has bent in three parts of the body. Which three parts of the body of Sri Krishna are bent?
Knees,
waist and? Not arm. Neck. His knees, rather the lotus feet, then the waist, actually chest, and the neck. And generally these three presiding deities for the Vaishnava, Radha, Madan, Mohan, represent the first bend in the lotus feet of Supreme Lord. Radha Gopinath represents the second bend in the actually chest, heart. And the third bend in the neck represented by Radha Govindevji. The face of Radha Govindev, the beauty of the face, is like Krishna. The Vakshasthal, which means chest of Gopinath, and the lotus feet of Madan Mohan. So it's called Tri Bhanga Lalita. So it is like he's a Neelamani, he's like a blue safari, where the moonlight is falling and his face, he becomes brilliant. And then he has a flute. And then one gopi is telling to the other gopi, this song is a mood of a gopi, don't go to the Yamuna. If at all you go there, don't go to the Bansi, but to the Keshi Ghat. Why? There is a one black boy. He's standing under the tamal tree, kadama tree. And he has a flute in his hand. And if you hear his flute, if you see it, look at him, then your worldly friends, then your family, your business, everything you will forget. And you will be lost for the world. You are of no use for the world. Don't go there. That's what Rupa Goswami is saying. What actually is he saying? Saying, go and see him. What is there in this world of material existence? So this type of poetry,
is called Vyaj Astuti. You remember this new vocabulary. Vyaj Astuti. Astuti means period. Vyaj means, well, Vyaj has a different five types of Vyaj in a poetry. We are not discussing that. Vyaj means apparently condemning the thing which is actually the most important. So don't go and see Govinda. It means go and see Govinda. So it's called Vyaj Astuti. V-I-Y-A-J. Vyaj Astuti. Srila Prabhupada writes, it is a poetic ornament. Poetic ornament. And similarly, the glorification of Bhagavatam is like this. Can you read the fourth para? My dear foolish friends, idiot. Say foolish and idiot, the word is idiot. Idiots, foolish. I think that you have already heard some of auspicious Srimad Bhagavatam, which decrees seeking the result of fruitive activities, economical development and liberation. I think that now it is certain that gradually the verses of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describing past time of the Lord will enter your ears and you go and then go into your heart. And then you will lose everything. Oh, idiot, what it means? Oh, idiots, still you are attached to the economical development and liberation and enjoyment. Why don't you hear the beautiful pastime of Lord Krishna and Bhagavatam? It is just opposite. He says, fools. It means you. Those are fools who are not hearing Bhagavatam. Actual meaning is this. Is it okay? Now, Srila Prabhupada's comment on these two is this. The last two paragraphs of... we are going a little bit, okay? So this is the second prayer about the glorification of Bhagavatam. And then comes Srila Rupa Goswami. Go to the next paragraph. So Sri Murti of Govinda. Can you see Sri Murti of Govinda and Bhagavatam? So first three paragraph is Sri Murti and fourth paragraph Bhagavatam. And fifth is about the beauty of the poetry, about seeing Govinda and hearing Bhagavatam, 10th canto particularly, okay? Gradually. Then Srila Prabhupada is writing something which is next para. Srila Rupa Goswami similarly described the transcendental nature of relishing topics which concern Krishna. But who will tell the topic about Krishna? Devotees. So this is devotee association actually. Which type of devotee? The devotee, when he is describing Krishna, there are tears in his eyes and hair is standing on the ends. And when such devotees speak of Krishna, then the hearer want to run and see Krishna. So devotee association actually increase the desire of a devotee to go and see the Lord and serve the Lord. And the next verse, similarly, there's a statement, hearing and chanting of the Maha Mantra, which means fourth item. What is the fourth item? Sankirtan. So this next para is Sankirtan. So Srila Rupa Goswami is a devotee association, this para number on the page number 110. And similarly is the Nama Sankirtan. You can point on these paras in your book. Describing Nama Sankirtan of Lord. As soon as they enter into the ears, I am always feeling presence of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then I have no attachment. In all these items, there's a one thing. there is a glimpse of a bhav bhakti. And now you cannot relish it. When we discuss bhav bhakti, it has 10 items. Out of the 10 items of bhav bhakti, in these 5 you can see one glimpse of bhav bhakti. Like in this, what is the last line? Bereft of all attachment to material enjoyment, it is called vrikti. Vrikti means indifference to the material world, is a symptom of bhav. At the level of bhav, there is no attachment to the worldly things. So this is a glimpse of bhav. In all these 5, there is glimpse of bhav. Well, this is the last part of our Nectar of Devotion course, but most of us know all these things. You know Shraddha? The 8 stages of Shraddha by Rupa Goswami? Adhan Vaidhi Bhakti. Up till Asakti is a sadhana vaidhi bhakti, right? So anybody who is at Nishta at least, and he come in contact with all these 5 items, he will immediately directly go to bhav. There's no need for undergoing any other things. He will immediately go to the bhav. Or he may have this from last lifetimes. He comes here once and then he stays here always in Mathura. Next verse in this chapter is, again Srila Rupa Goswami describes Mathura Mandal. This is the 5th item. Can you see on page number 11? This paragraph is 5th item. And what is this 5th item? The beauty of the Mathura Mandal, Yamuna, Kadam trees, birds chirping there, right? In these statements, I just discussed in the beginning, about devotional service, sometimes it appears that the results have been overestimated, but actually there is no overestimation. Some devotees, as revealed in scriptures, give evidence, have had immediate results by such association. Although this is not possible for all. For example, Kumar and these, okay? And go down last part. Estimation, can you find this line? Must attention from fleeting material beauty to the eternal beauty of Krishna consciousness. And for a person, the described results are not unusual. Okay? Now, you have seen this deity worship, Srila Prabhupada, as a one advice for all of us. If you establish the deity in your home, then your attraction to the deity will help you to be free from nonsense. What nonsense Srila Prabhupada described? Going to the theater, cinema. Did you find this in our book? Yeah, this is a practical application in the life of a practicing devotee. If the deities are in the home, then we have to serve the deities. Then we have no time for nonsense. Srila Prabhupada, right? For nonsense. It's okay? This is all. Save is the page number 109. This will save everyone from the unwanted activities. Okay? All such nonsense can be put. So we have to, these are the 5. Now we are coming to the last part of this chapter. And the next chapter, right? At this time I am asking one question to you. In 64 items, is there any description of Varnashram? Is Varnashram an item among the 64 items for devotional service? Vaidhi Sadham Uttam Bhakti? No. Is there anywhere jnana, knowledge? Anywhere renunciation? No. Anywhere cleanliness, taking bath every day? No. Good behavior? No. Be truthful? Is there anywhere? No. So, now Srila Rupa Goswami is describing, these are the five most important. But now the issue is, there are so many things which people practice. Are these all practices Vaidhi Sadham Uttam Bhakti? Are the pure devotional services dependent on these items? No. The answer is no. Anybody who is a devotee, all these things will automatically manifest. Devotee don't need help from anything, generally. Is it okay? Bhakti comes from bhakti. And bhakti is independent. So, now read this. The last two paragraphs of chapter 13, which means Varnashram, and chapter 14 all together, show that karma, which means fruitive activities, jnana, which means knowledge, vairagya, which means renunciation, dependence on the wealth, it means if I want to practice only devotional service, if I get some wealth, and followers, if I have some followers, because who will do the deity worship? If I don't followers, then who will maintain the temple? Discrimination, I should do this or that. And other material qualities, basic rules of conduct, like non-violence, cleanliness, etc., are not anga of bhakti. So now from the last two paragraphs of this chapter and the rest 14th chapter, they are, Srila Rupa Goswami is focusing that these are not anga of bhakti. Anga of bhakti means they are not limbs of the devotion. They are not limb of pure devotion. Some may be required in the early stages. Some may be adjusted. And the others may automatically appear in the person of a devotee. But devotion is not dependent on that. Is it okay? They are not anga of bhakti. Only one thing is needed. This is the last line we will read afterwards. Now in our 13th chapter there is a Varna Ashram system. Eleventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in our 13th chapter, where Krishna is telling to Uddhava Varna Ashram, and also we have this in Bhagavatam first canto. If Varna Ashram is not helping for bhakti, it is sharam evi kevalam, it's useless, it's of no use. Or even bhakti, if the Varna Ashram is not a It's not a necessity for pure devotion. But now, the example is like Varna. Grahastha is a Varna Ashram most of the year. Some brahmacharis, but most if Grahastha has four things in their home, deity worship, recitation of Gita Bhagavat, Harinam Sankirtan, and what is number four? Offering everything to the Lord and honoring Prasad, then that house is a Vaikuntha. It means they are practicing devotional service. So, it's not limb of bhakti, but so Bhagavad Gita and Ramanand Raya, and third was 11th canto, 20th chapter, 9th verse. One should execute prescribed duties of the varna and ashram as long as he has not developed spontaneous attachment for hearing about my pastime and activities. Because that is only preliminary, but it's not ang of bhakti. Is it okay? Now chapter 14. Now we are starting chapter 14. Is it okay? Now the last line in this slide, can you see? Only one needs take shelter of one or more of the principal angas of bhakti to attain perfection. One or more. If somebody is practicing ek anga, one anga bhakti, is called ek anga bhakta. If he is practicing more than one, he is called bahu anga, anek anga, many. Somebody is only practicing one limb and somebody is practicing 3, 4, 5 or all. There is necessary for bhakti, not varna ashram. It's okay? Now we have, this is varna ashram. This is just verse we read and quoted. Chapter 14, devotional service qualification. So what is the meaning of qualification of devotional service? Qualification of devotional service? In the first, sorry? Adhikar, we have already discussed eligibility for devotional service. What was in the eligibility? According to Shraddha, according to faith. Number one was faith. What was the other part for the Adhikar? Faith and? Knowledge and faith. Renunciation. Is renunciation, isn't it? The bhakti is not dependent on renunciation. What are the two things which are for adhikar? One is faith and number two is?
Knowledge.
Scriptures and the order of the guru, what is that?
Attachment.
Attachment to the rules and regulation are nine. What are the two? There are two things there. Based on then the adhikar or the eligibility is?
Not to attach to material.
Not to have attachment to material things. That's also in one sense is a renunciation, which bhakti is not dependent on that. Jnana karma adi anavartam. Adi means other things, which is varnashram and all, they are coming in adi. Anavartam means uncovered. So eligibility. What is an eligibility? Man is faith, right? And here Srila Prabhupada writes in first line, the first paragraph, sincere desire, it requires nothing more than sincerity. Can you see this? So what is the correct qualification? The qualification is sincere desire. It is sincerity and a desire to practice devotional service. Nothing else. Sincere desire. Is it okay? So qualification means, what is the qualification of devotion? The rest of the chapter discuss these. Now some, here Sri Rupa Goswami writes, some people say that knowledge and renunciation are necessary for devotional service. Knowledge and renunciation are necessary for devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada writes, maybe in early stages, but devotional service is not dependent on knowledge and renunciation. Is it okay? What is an early stage? They may be helpful in early stage. This is what is in our book. And this early stage is described by Srila Jiva Goswami. Knowledge that I am soul, I am not body is good. It helps us for devotion. I am soul, I am not body. And then the knowledge about, he used the technical words. He said, there are two words. Tattva, tvam, padarth. About the jivas eternal, I am not body, I am soul. Number two, the Brahma, the spirit, supreme Lord. This knowledge, and then the knowledge, third knowledge, which Jiva Goswami described, that the Jiva merges in Brahma, is called Brahma Jnana. So first two are good. That there is a soul and there is a super soul. That is okay. But merging we don't accept. So this knowledge may be good in the beginning. And detachment from the matter. From enjoyment, from karma kanda may be in the beginning needed. But bhakti is not dependent, devotion is not dependent on that. Is it okay? But on the other hand, these two are detrimental to devotion. Means they are unfavorable for devotion. Why? The reason given is the knowledge is not favorable because it is leading to the merging, which means liberation. And that is, pure devotion is not covered by knowledge, jnana. So it's not good. And vairagya and detachment, these two makes the heart very hard. There's so many emotions. You give up all these things. Don't eat good food. Don't wear good cloth. All these things make the heart very hard. So knowledge and renunciation are not helpful for devotion because they make the heart very hard.
They don't actually help us to fix our mind on Krishna.
Sorry? They?
Jnana and Vairagya don't help to fix the mind on Krishna.
Well, that is another point. So one point, just we said, it makes a heart hard. And number two, in Jnana we are focusing on speculation, not on Krishna. So mind is not attached to Krishna rather than his speculation. And in a renunciation, it's all dry. So mind is not attached there to the Krishna. On the other hand, devotional service is by nature very sweet and soft. It's very sweet and soft. It's very gentle. Because there are emotions. The devotion has an emotion. And you cannot be emotionless. Okay? Therefore, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī has come up with some solution. And what is the solution he has come up with? What we should give up and what we should not give up as a renunciation, that knowledge we must have. So he has used the two verses which Srila Prabhupada used to quote often time, suitable and unsuitable renunciation. Suitable renunciation and unsuitable renunciation, vairagya. So we must renounce something and we must not renounce something. So these are the two verses which are from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and which Srila Prabhupada used to quote often time in all his books. One is anasaktasya vishyan yatharatham upayunjitaha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagyam uchyate. The other verse is continuation. Parapanchikatya buddhya hari sambandhi vastuna mumukti tyago vairagyam. Two words actually in these verse. One is called yukta vairag, another is called phalgu vairag, and the other word sometimes uses markat vairag. You know markat? Markat is a monkey. Monkey is called markat. He is detached. He has no cloth. He has no home. He's just living on vegetable. He's a good vegetarian. But Srila Prabhupada writes, but he has more than a dozen she monkeys for enjoyment. So his vairagya is phalgu vairagya. Is a markat vairagya is called phalgu vairagya. Actually, Phalgu is a river somewhere in Bihar. When you see, it is only sand. There is no water. But under the sand, there is a water. So these sannyas, these vairagis, and not vairagis, but say renunciant, artificial. Outside, they say, we have given up everything. But inside, there are so many desires. Inside, this is called Phalgu. So meaning of the phalgu is a useless renunciation. And what is the yukta vairagya? Anasakta vishyan. Anasakta vishyan means he is not attached to the sense enjoyment personally. A devotee is not personally attached to sense enjoyment. Then yathartham junjataha. Actually, yathartham means for Krishna, for the devotional service, he can use anything for Krishna. He can use anything for Krishna, but requires. So problem is, Malati Mataji, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada was there and she wanted butter for the morning cooking. There was no money, there was no butter. She went down and she saw a supplier vehicle standing in front of the shop. The man went to... So here we have, okay, ek anga and bahu anga. So all these pages here are discussing these two type of renunciation. And after that, Srila Prabhupada is discussing the other items like the cleanliness, purity, all these things. Bhakti is not dependent on that. As far as the knowledge and renunciation are concerned, they are byproduct of bhakti. And then it is quotation in our book. Which verse from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? Vasudeva Bhakti Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janesu. It gives rise to birth. It gives birth to Ahituk Jnanam Vairagyam Ahitukum. So that devotion to Krishna automatically, byproduct is that knowledge which is needed, and that renunciation which is needed is a byproduct of devotional service. Is it okay? Let me say one more line on this. By in the glories of Bhagavatam, it is said the knowledge and renunciation are the two sons of devotional service. Bhakti has two sons. One is called knowledge and other is called renunciation. And here son means result. Bhakti, the byproduct of bhakti is knowledge and renunciation. The two sons of bhakti. Without bhakti they are useless. Now, what is your question? That's what I said. It's only that I am not body, I am soul. That knowledge is okay. In the preliminary stages means before entering into the sadhana bhakti. It's not a limb, it's not a limb or an item in the 64. It is not. So bhakti is not dependent on this knowledge. This knowledge is there, it will help. But it's no knowledge, then no problem. That is
the devotion service is dependent on nothing other than a sentiment or desire for service.
Yes.
But sentiment and desire forms when we follow the Nanda Bhakti, Shravana Kirtan. And we otherwise when we always stress hearing Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, even teaching the required. So how is it possible that in previous study, even we have a limit of it, you know, but we are not a spirit, we are not matter, but still we want to go for Bhakti required.
Therefore, that knowledge will automatically reveal to a practicing devotee.
And
that is what Bhagavatam, every day we have to hear Bhagavatam, the byproduct that gives all knowledge. Therefore we have something that we should read. What is the anga of the bhakti? We read devotional literature. That is there. In 64 item there is a reading, sharvana, reading of the devotional literature. Right? That is a one anga. It's not that we give up that. Here knowledge actually means Brahma Gyan. Jiva Goswami says it's a Brahma Gyan. Speculative knowledge that soul, super soul and merging of the two. That knowledge is not necessary. One part is accepted. I am soul, I am not body. It's good. That may be needed, but the others not. So there the classification is like that. Like Srila Prabhupada used to say, money. Now there is, after that there are two items more, like followers and money. You know, if I get money then I can practice devotional service. Oh, I have deities, if I have followers, I am depending on followers. Then it, then the bhakti will not be, it's not called bhakti. So bhakti is not dependent on money and follower. And then Srila Prabhupada writes something in this 14th chapter. If some person is a spiritual master by his own will, I want to initiate. Why? Because I will get dakshina, money. Then he will be attached to the money and followers. And then he will fall down from the devotional service. So, self-appointed are greedy. And we have example, even in our old movement, people, they had many disciples and they amassed lot of money and then they could not maintain their devotional service. And they left. So Srila Prabhupada is warning that some person, if he is attached to these two things, then he will, his bhakti will be endangered. So bhakti is not dependent on the wealth. I think Dhanodhar Maharaj has given some other explanation that some person may give a donation, $1 million, to build a temple. Okay, it is a good bhakti. But now what is going on in temple deity worship, he will not get benefit of that. So that is not his bhakti. Like some spiritual master trained the disciple to worship deity. But when he worshiped the deity, it is his own devotional service. It's not, it's a, somehow these two things Maharaj has written, I'm just thinking he must have read or heard somewhere. But the main point is money and a disciple, too many disciples. If somebody is attached to that, if he is using all the money in Krishna's service and all disciples in Krishna's service, no problem. But there are unqualified disciples, then is a problem. You know, in 64 items, Giriraj Maharaj was discussing, we should read devotional books. Now the question is, which books we should read? So Srila Prabhupada written like Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion. Srila Prabhupada said, if you have these four books, Nectar of Devotion, Teaching of Lord Chaitanya, First Canto of Bhagavatam, and Bhagavad Gita as it is, say, it's a complete knowledge. For your preaching, for your own practice, this is complete knowledge. This is something like, he said, I have given everything in this. But then, what about reading the books of the previous acharyas? So, there is a conversation. Some devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, so Srila Prabhupada, did you say that we should not read the Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's books? Prabhupada said, no, I never said. The other devotee said, the next devotee too. But Srila Prabhupada, this time, when we went to the India, the Achyutananda Maharaj was criticizing and saying, anybody who goes and brings Bhakti Siddhanta's book, then I will take that book. He said, I did not say this. Srila Prabhupada, I did not say this. Then the devotee said, it might be that if they go and mix with the Gaudiya Math, then they may be dangerous for their devotional service. Prabhupada said, maybe. But ultimately he said, we should read Acharya's books to understand my books. But then he said, first you understand my books, then you refer to the previous Acharya's books. And then he said, if you want to really master one book, rather than having many books here and there, master one book. So ultimately, Srila Prabhupada says, it's not a bar. But you cannot say which book we should read and which book we should not read. For example, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada went to Bhakti Vinod Thakur, his father and his spiritual master. He said, I want to print a book called Govinda Leela Amrit. It's a book written by Kaviraj Goswami. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, well, I don't think it's necessary. So no, I have a desire. He said, all right, go and print, but print only one copy for you. At the most two, one for you and one for me. What it means? It means if we print this book, people are not able to understand the subject. It is the higher subject. So most of the time, Srila Prabhupada was once, somebody asked, Swamiji, you speak something about Rasa Leela. Srila Prabhupada said, well, this is very high subject. It's not really for common people to discuss. He said, no, Swamiji, please, Ras. Srila Prabhupada said, you may be eligible, but I am not eligible to speak. What actually Srila Prabhupada said is, you are fool number one, an idiot, how can I speak to you? But he used the Rupa Goswami's technique that you may be eligible, but I am not to speak this subject. So usually these subjects should, so actually we should read, then we should read systematically according to the parampara. The Bhagavatam from first canto, second canto like this, it's not jump to the tenth canto. And when association of devotees. So there is the main point which we are making right now, the point was money and followers. They are yukta vairagya, then is okay. But if there is a little attachment, then that person will be in danger. And many such incidents can be seen. And then the nitya karma, taking bath, so is taking bath necessary? Yes. But is the anga of bhakti? No. As so we practice bhakti, all these will come. Even the non-violence will come automatically in the life of a devotee. Vegetarianism, we don't preach vegetarianism as a pure devotional service. But those who are vegetarian, it can be useful for them to practice bhakti. But person may be vegetarian, but they are not devotees. What is the problem? But what is the need of that? There's no need. So a devotee can automatically be non-violence, he can be automatically vegetarian. But the bhakti is not dependent on all these. And then Srila Prabhupada gave the story of Mirgari in our book here. Did you read this Mirgari story? Yeah. Here Prabhupada also gave that, well, Mirgari hunter giving the trouble to the, so much to the animals, but now by Narad's mercy, is a devotee. This is called devotee association for a moment. By a moment of devotee association, Narada, he becomes so elevated in devotion that next time when Narada came, he was cleaning the ants from the way to pay obeisance. Means he becomes so much non-violent. From a dangerous violent to the non-violent, simply by bhakti. You know, to be clean and all these things. Many people are clean, but they are not devotee. But the devotee become clean automatically by practicing devotional service. So this whole chapter describes that all these things are, the bhakti is not dependent on them. Bhakti is independent. Now, after this in 14th chapter, we have ekangi bhakti, those who practice one limb of bhakti only. Vaidhi sadhan uttama bhakti. So Sharvan, the example is Parikshat Maharaj. Kirtan, example is Sukhdev Goswami. Remembrance, example is Prahlad Maharaj. Serving the lotus feet, Lakshmi Devi. Worshipping deity, Prithu Maharaj. Offering prayers, Akrura. Servitorship, Hanuman. Friendship, Arjun. And Atma Nivedan, Bali Maharaj. And many Anga, Ambarish Maharaj. The verse which says Ambarish Maharaj was using. Yes? Anga means limbs. Devotion, nine limbs of devotion. Nine limbs of devotional service. So Anga means limb.
Yeah.
I don't understand what you're saying. But say again.
I want to know that if the spiritual master expert,
yes,
what is the duty of his sannyasi disciples? Because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj never gave a formal condition to Srila Prabhupada to become a guru. But after he expired, he took it, the responsibility to become a guru and be of the world. So what is the, well, he was saying to become guru of his own will. So I want to know the situation.
When Srila Prabhupada was given sannyas, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati appeared 2-3 times in his dream to take sannyas and inspired Srila Prabhupada to take sannyas. So his question is like, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada did not order Srila Prabhupada to initiate disciples, so here Srila Prabhupada is saying anybody who becomes a spiritual master on his own, and if he is attached to the money and followers, then he will fall down. So Srila Prabhupada, when he was given sannyas as desired by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, then he said, why you marry? He said, if you marry, then you need children, right? The marriage is to get children. To take sannyasi means to have brahmachari disciples, otherwise why to take sannyas? So then he gave the logic that somebody marries means he needs children. So somebody takes sannyas, then he must preach and make disciples and offer them to the through the parampara to the Krishna. So he started from here to get, went to the Jhansi. And when he started preaching, but he officially only initiated one disciple in India. This Acharya Prabhakar. But when he went to the America, his focus was only on the main point of his spiritual master. Print book. Whenever you get money, print books. And preach in an English language. First building, when he got some money, first building he purchases for BBT, book distributor, for printing press. At that time in Boston. So first he money got, he engaged in a printing press and book. And then he, as we read in one of the purport in Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada said, when I was alone, means before, after taking sannyas, I was not interested in building temple. I was not interested in many followers. I was simply living there by distributing books back to Godhead. But when I came to your country, he said, America, and I was still doing the same principle, distributing my Bhagavatam and maintaining myself. But when you all devotees, my Guru Maharaj sent and you came, and the money started coming, then I followed the order of my spiritual master to print more books and establish temples for the practice of devotional service for the devotees. Srila Prabhupada all the way said, Krishna is sending me money unlimitedly. Why? Because I am not using a penny for my personal use. And the point I was making, which I forgot at this time, now I am saying, in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada, in one class he said, money is a byproduct of preaching. Money is a byproduct of preaching. The point he was making is, when somebody is coming in the temple, don't look in the pocket of a person, that how much money he gives. Look into the heart of a person. He has come to the temple, so there is a little glimpse of devotion, so he came to the temple. This little spark is there, fan that spark of devotion, and he become devotee, he will give his life. Why you are looking for a few rupees? This is what he said. And then he said, money is byproduct of preaching. Money will directly come to the lotus feet of a devotee. He has not to beg for it. And then Srila Prabhupada said, well, I started this movement without money and now we have unlimited money. And no businessman can do like that. So Krishna can provide if you use for service of Krishna. And practically speaking, whoever was giving any dakshana, it means offering to Srila Prabhupada as a sannyasi, as a guru, next day he was depositing in a bank, in an account called Mayapur Vrindavan Trust. MVT. And he left a will that after my departure, maybe in Kali Yuga some temple may not run and you may have to close. But all this money, my money, my dakshina money, my donation, by these, this money you should maintain and run Vrindavan and Mayapur temple. These two temples should always continue running by this money. So that MVT is Mayapur Vrindavan Trust. And this money was used for building this whole MVT. And the benefit of this is to continue maintaining the Vrindavan and Mayapur temple in future if there is any crisis. Because these are temple in a holy places where is not people normally giving anything. Outside people can give. People in the holy place only want to take from you. They never give. So this is Prabhupada's vision. He never used a penny for his personal self. Even when he was in the last days, the one who was serving him as a massage, he gave 10,000 rupees to him or something. He said, you did so much service, so this is for you. Something like that, you know, he did everything meticulously. So, ultimately, it's not that he's an acharya, they will self-manifest by the mercy of, and he never forgot and never said any, I'm doing anything on my own. It's all Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's mercy, he accepted that. So by this we are finishing the chapter 14 and by this we are finishing the Vaidhi Sadhan Bhakti. Is it okay? What is your question? We'll go a little more. Can
never know the absence of wealth. Because it's a kind of
never
absence of wealth.
Oh, wealth is no scarcity for a devotee.
But in this case, said,
now,
to want more is a lack of faith in Krishna, and it is offensive for people. We must be satisfied if you give us a little bit money or not to use it for.
He had never money, but he was doing the business. I want this place for Krishna. How much this cost? 10 million. I said, $10 million. And he has only $100. He said, all right. Take $100 as advance. We will give you in. So Prabhupada was doing like that. He said, this is, I am doing it for Krishna. Krishna will provide money. He said, he was always in a, how to serve Krishna, in anxiety. Not that money. Don't keep money in a bank account and just rot there. Use it in Krishna's service. And then Krishna will send more. Now, 15th chapter, I am telling you one thing, you just correct and then you read. In 15th chapter, 15 and 16th chapter is Rag Anuga Sadhan Bhakti. Rag Anuga Sadhan Bhakti. So we have finished the Vaidhi Sadhan Bhakti. So, Sadhan Bhakti, which means devotional service by rules and regulation through senses and mind has two divisions. Vaidhi means where there is no attachment but following the scripture and the spiritual master's order. And Raganuga Sadhan means having a spontaneous attachment for Krishna. Now from 15 and 16, these two chapters, they discuss Rag Anuga Sadhan Bhakti. It's a Sadhan Bhakti. It's not a pure love, okay? Now in our book, chapter 15, wherever you find Rag Anuga, you correct that. It's not Rag Anuga is a right word, it's a printing mistake or editing mistake, okay? Chapter 15, wherever you find Rag Anuga, there the actual word is raga. You leave the word raga, but cut anuga and write atmic. A-T-M-I-C. It is rag atmik bhakti, not rag anuga bhakti. Is it okay? In para 2, can you see? Okay, para 3. Can you go to para 3? Para 3. Sorry, where is it? I wanted to. Oh, chapter 4, 115, sorry. Para 2, can you see? It is the opinion or extra device that the mental association is in favor. This is chapter 14, okay. Chapter 15. Para 2, can you see? Srila Rupa Goswami has defined, this is only rag, cut the anuga and bhakti. Rag as a spontaneous attraction. It's the only word rag, not rag anuga bhakti. Is it okay? So all these rag anuga is rag atmik. Can you write rag atmik word here for everybody? Oh, here. Well, this is rag atmik. Sorry? Because it is not raga anuga. Raga anuga is a different thing. In this, this is editorial and printing mistake. Is it okay? This is just chapter 15 is the first thing you do. Okay. Now before we going there, see here uttama bhakti. We have discussed three parts: sadhan, bhav, and prem. We have discussed this, and sadhan has two parts: vaidhi and raga anuga. Right? We know this. This is from the beginning, chapter 2. Is it okay? Already we discussed this. Now here, these two words. Why we are changing this? Because Srila Prabhupada has translated same word in Chaitanya Charitamrita by himself as rag atmik. So what is this? Now rag anuga and rag atmik. You see the spell and put it. Rag atmik, A-T-M-I-K-A, rag atmik, not C, K-A. Is it okay? So chapter 15 has this one printing mistake. I have to tell you what it means actually. Hey, let us read this verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Rag atmika bhakti mukhya vrajavasi jane tar anugata bhaktira rag anuga name. It means the first line says rag admika bhakti mukhya vrjavasi jan. Those who are the eternal associate of Vrindavan, of Krishna, they are called rag atmik bhakta. So this is the meaning of rag atmik. And tar anugat, those who follow the devotees of associate devotees of Vrindavan, that bhakti is called rag anuga bhakti. Can you understand now the difference? Like Yashoda is the eternal associate of Krishna as a mother. So her bhakti is rag atmik. Anybody who wants to serve Krishna as a vatsalya, as a mother, they can follow Yashoda. Then they are called rag anuga. Now another difference. Remember the other difference. Rag atmik bhakti is sadhya. Sadhya means perfected. It is perfected. It is pure love. While rag anuga bhakti is sadhan. Sadhan means it is a practice. So can you see the difference between the two?
Yes.
Rag anuga is a practice, rag atmik is already perfect. So this is the difference between the two. So to understand Raganuga Bhakti, first we have to understand Ragatmik. Because Raganuga is to follow the Ragatmik Bhakta. So these two words put in your consciousness, Ragatmik, pure associate of Krishna in Vrindavan. And Raganuga, those who follow the eternal associate of Krishna in Vrindavan. Those who follow the eternal associate of Krishna in Vrindavan. Is it okay? Is it clear?
Yes.
Now we read the translation of this verse. The original inhabitant of Vrindavan are attached to Krishna spontaneously in devotional service. Nothing can compare to such spontaneous devotional service, which is called Rag Atmika Bhakti. This is Srila Prabhupada's translation in Madhya Leela. Okay? When a devotee follows in the footsteps of devotees of Vrindavan, his devotional service is called Rag Anuka Bhakti. Is it clear? This is the definition. Its definition we will discuss separately, but here this is the distinction between the Rag Atmik and Rag Anuga. Rag Atmik is just spontaneous. Now this is another verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vrajantim abhivyaktam vrajavasi janadisho ragadmikam anushrita yasa raganu gauchyate. That was in Bengali, and this is in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, first shore, eastern shore of the ocean of bhakti, and number 2 means sadhan bhakti, second wave, and verse number 270. And this verse is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, 22 chapter, 154 verse. Devotional service is in spontaneous love is vividly expressed and manifested by the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Devotional service that accords with their devotional service. Accord with means? Follows. That one who follows. Accordingly means following. Is called Raganuga Bhakti or devotional service following in the wake of spontaneous loving service. Means walking behind. Is it okay? So now you understand the difference between two words. So when you read this whole chapter, make sure that you should not mistake these two words. Is it okay? Now we have this one. Definition of Rag Atmika Bhakti. Definition of Rag Atmika Bhakti means pure devotion, spontaneous devotion, perfect devotion of a Vrindavan associate of Krishna. Ishte Swarasi Ki Raga. Paramavishtata bhave tanamaya bhaveda bhakti satra ragatmika uditta. Satra
इष्टे सेवा इष्टे स्वारसी की राग. सो स्वारसी की राग. सो यदि वर्ड इज रस, नो द रस हैव रस मीन्स वी हैव डिस्कस रस इन द प्रीफेस. Anybody can tell me what is the meaning of rasa? Melo or taste due to relationship that give enjoyment, that give pleasure, and that pleasure keep us continue that thing. So the rasa is a definition. All must know the definition of rasa, because bhakti rasam sindhu. Rasa means mellow or sweetness which give a pleasure through some relation, emotion that keep us engaged in the same activity continuously. Then there are two rasas, material ras and the spiritual ras. So this ras only manifest, really speaking, the level of the ras, that only manifest at a bhava level. After that there is a rasa. Before there is no rasa. There is a glimpse of something, but there is no rasa as such. Sthai bhav. Rasa means sthai bhav. You know, because the next wave, you know, next shore, there is an eastern shore, then we go to the next shore, there is rasa. There is a full section on the rasa. And there are different type of one rasa, two rasa, three rasa, four rasa. And then this is sthai rasa. Sthairas means now his permanent swarup. And then, if what is the sthairas? Then we have these five rasa. Say, Shanta, Dasya, Sakha, Vatsala. That is sthairas. It means perfect. It means after bhav. Is it okay? Rasa only manifest afterwards, not now. So this word is swarasiki. Swarasiki means according to his own mellow. And what are the different mellows? Like servitude, like friendship, like mother, father, like lover. Swarasiki means according to his own sthai bhav. Sthai bhav means permanent swarup. Is it okay? Ishte, Sri Krishna, okay? Swarasi ki raga. Raga means attachment. Attachment like a mother Yashoda, attachment like a gopis, attachment like devotee, sakhas like Madhu Mangal or Shubal. Then paramavishta bhavet. Paramavisht means he is completely absorbed in that mood. He's just absorbed. Paramavisht means absorbed. Tanmaya. What is the meaning? Tanmaya? Absorbed. The another meaning is, well, paramavishta and tanmaya. Yeah, tanmaya, generally tan means body. Well, this body is only in service of that mood. No other mood. Tanmayata. Tanmaya means complete absorption. Just forget everything else. Ya bhaveta bhakti, and that type of bhakti which comes at least after the bhav. Sat atra rag atmika udita. That is called rag atmika. When one becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to one's natural inclination, which means sakha, vatsalya, madhurya, dasya, it means as a servant, as a friend, as a lover, as a mother, father. That is the meaning of inclination, to love him. And fully absorbed in thought of Lord, that state is called transcendental attachment. And devotional service according to that attachment is called ragatmika, or spontaneous devotional service. Is it okay? And then two characteristics of ragatmika bhakti.
Raga Atmika, no Raga Noga, yes, okay? Ishte Gada Trishna, this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Say, Ishte Gada Trishna, Ragera Swarupa Lakshana, Ishte Avishtata, Etatrishta Lakshana. We have discussed these two words, you know, the primary and the secondary characteristic in our definition of Uttama Bhakti. Can you remember? What is the definition of Uttama Bhakti? Anya Abhilashita Sunyam Jnana Karma Adhyanavritam Krishna Anu Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. So what is the primary character of this bhakti? And what is secondary? We discussed this, you remember? What is the primary character of this bhakti? Krishna Anusilanam. And secondary character is Gyan Karamadi Anya Bilasha Gyan and Karamadi. Right? Secondary. So similarly there are primary characteristic and secondary characteristic of Rag Atmika Bhakti. Ishte God Trishna. Ishte means Supreme Lord Krishna, the one we to whom we love. God Trishna. God means deep attachment. God means deep attachment. You know how we call God? When you put something in the earth, that's called gadna. You know, gadna means putting a pole in the earth. So the deeper you put, more strong it is. You know, this is word God is like that. You want to have a big building, then you have to go that deep down. So God means going deep. And Trishna means attachment. Actually, Trishna means which is never satisfied. The word Trishna means you get it and the taste increases and you get need more. There is no limit. Trishna never finishes. That is the meaning of Trishna. You need it and then still you think I need it. You get it and still you think no, still not, I need more. So there is no limit. Trishna, deep attachment. So Trishna is actually a Sanskrit word which means I meet Krishna, I feel satisfied, but still I never want to leave him. Yeah, that type which is everything, every day new Krishna. It's not here. We go to the home, one day we think, oh, you have come after 1 month, and next day nobody bothers you. So the Trishna is over in one day in this world, right? Maybe 3 days maximum. In this world, all the attachment is only for few days, few months. But Krishna is every day new, and it's continuous like that. So Trishna is like that, which is never satisfied. The more we attach, the more we want to be attached. More we attach, the more we want to be. It's like Anandam Bodhi Vardhanam. It's only increase, increase, increase. So Ishta Trishna means deep attachment for Supreme Personality of Godhead. And second, absorption in thought of Him is marginal character. So next is, marginal is absorption in His thought. So one is natural insight. The other is thinking, oh, I have to cook for him. Yes, I have to clean. I have to bring, you know, some sweet for him. Something like this is absorption. It's a secondary. So it has two parts. The primary is God Trishna and secondary is Avishta. Ishte Avishta. You know, if you put these two words from the Sanskrit, God Krishna is primary, which means deep attachment, and ishte avishtta is secondary, which means absorption. Okay? God Krishna means deep attachment, which is primary, and avishtha, which means absorption in Supreme Lord, that is secondary characteristic. Now, I think these are the two words here, just we discussed. Primary characteristic, Swarup Lakshan, is deep attachment for Krishna. Same thing, just we discussed. Primary is deep attachment, which means God Krishna, right? And secondary is tatistha, absorption and thought of Krishna, which means avishta. Avishta. Is it okay? Now, atmika word. Atmika means soul. So, rag atmika literally means one whose atma means essence, means the whole essence of life, is rag, is intense attachment for Krishna. One becomes fully absorbed in thought of Lord. Devotional service rendered according to such transcendental attachment is called rag atmika bhakti. You know, sometimes we say, I have a body and then I have a soul. So my body is different from the soul. And Krishna's body, there is no difference between body and soul. So devotee, for devotee, his soul and his body, everything is in service of Krishna. Both are only for that purpose. There's no, they have no separate bodily any engagement for themselves. Like gopis, when they were decorating body, they are not decorating their body, how beautiful we look. No. What pleases Krishna? How I look good? No, they have no desire. Like Hanuman, you know this Hanuman? He was hungry. He went to Mother Sita. Say, Mother, am I hungry? And she was actually putting a red mark in a parted hair, sindur. And she came late. He said, Ma, I am hungry, Mother. He said, I was putting this little rib. Why? He said, Lord Ram is pleased. My husband is pleased. Lord Ramchandra is pleased when he sees the red color in my hairs. But then he forgot his hunger. He ran to the market and he got a red color and he put the whole red color on and he came back. And Mother Sita was laughing. He said, what are you doing, Hanuman? What is this? He said, this much small red pleases Krishna. The Ram, then I have become full red. And I forgot the hunger. So there is the mood. Ragatmika means complete. Inside, outside, every Krishna, everything Krishna. Inside Krishna, outside Krishna. Like Balaram why he is wearing the blue cloth? His Krishna color is blue, so it always reminds me blue. Radharani is wearing blue sari because it reminds always of Krishna. When Mother Yashoda told Krishna at Brahman Ghat, you have eaten dirt. You know? So your friends are saying. And your elder brother is saying, Krishna said, ye Balaram? He looks only fair from outside. Inside is black like anything. Does Krishna speak untruth, lie? No. He's saying right thing. Balaram is from outside only fair color, but in his heart I am residing and I am black. So inside is completely black. So outwardly he was saying, this Balaram you think is very fair, he looks nice, inside very black. He is against me actually. He is always telling me that Yashoda and Nanda Baba, they are fair color. Why you are black color? They must have purchased you from the market. mother, he is every day. So this is the inside out Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Like Radharani, when Queen Rukmani served her hot milk, and she went to massage the feet of Krishna. In the middle of the night, she saw blister on the feet of Krishna. So Krishna, you did not go outside. How come you got this? So you gave the hot milk to Radharani, and my lotus feet is always within her heart. So my feet is burned by your hot milk given to the Radharani. So Radharani inside has that Krishna. Outside, inside, both Krishna. That is actually the meaning of deep means is a heart deep. There's nothing in between, you know. Nothing in between except Krishna. Whatever you cut. Arjun, when he was once in a Dwarka, and he was sleeping, and Krishna wanted somebody to wake him up. Somebody went inside from every pore of the skin, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Said, what nice sound is coming, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And the one who went there, Rukmani went there, and she was so absorbed in hearing name of Krishna, she did not come back. So then Krishna said, oh, Narad, you go there. So Narad went there. When he heard that, you know, he's sleeping, but then every poor Krishna, Krishna. So he started playing his veena and then dancing. So Krishna went himself there. He said, they're dancing. What is this? And then he said, oh, Krishna, see? From the every pore of the skin of the Arjuna, Ram, Krishna, Krishna. And by the time Arjuna woke up and he was really embraced there. What are you all here dancing? What are you doing? He said, well, you are sleeping, but it's only we can hear Krishna, Krishna. That is actually meaning of God, God, Krishna. The love is so deep. Wherever you go, it is only Krishna you see there, nothing else. Hanuman just opened his chest and there was a Sitaram inside. Nothing else. Inside is Sitaram, outside is Sitaram. Inside is Krishna, outside is Krishna. That is the meaning of actually Rag Atmika Bhakti. They have no other purpose of life except to please Krishna and to serve Krishna. It's okay? Now read this chapter. Tomorrow we will finish this chapter. This is a very good chapter. Now this is still a technical thing. So we will finish this chapter 15 tomorrow. Maybe we start the 16. Is it okay? But now you should be ready for the first Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. You just read it, complete your answer of the question bank, and if you have any other question, you bring it. Maybe tomorrow we finish this Raganuga Bhakti, and then we'll go to the Bhav Bhakti, three more chapters. But we can finish by that the Sadhana Bhakti. And then we can discuss something. One day we just keep for the Sadhana Bhakti discussion. You read all this. Is it possible to finish how many chapters? 110 pages? No. How many pages? 120 pages. 125 pages. How many days you need to read this much? Huh? Hare Krishna. Anyway, if you have any question about the 64 items or something, we can discuss. Otherwise, tomorrow we will finish this Rag Anuga Bhakti. Is it okay? You read the 15 and 16 chapter, please. And in only 15 chapter, you change the Rag Anuga for Rag Atmika, okay? Because 16 chapter is Rag Anuga. This is Rag Atmika, and in 16 we will discuss if there is anything. Is it all right? Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada.